welcome to Radio Prague International. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, how is the Czech Republic helping to alleviate the plight of Ukrainian refugees and where else in the world is it helping? We'll hear about the government's priorities in humanitarian aid and development cooperation from Petr Gandalovic, the man spearheading the effort at the Czech Foreign Ministry. And later on, we'll tell you about a new Czech radio fundraising project, which aims to provide musical instruments to children of Ukrainian refugees, but also to Czech children whose parents don't have the means to buy them. Stay with us. Helping Zambian farmers cope with climate change, tackling drinking water problems in Peru, opening an eye clinic in Cambodia, or strengthening the tourist potential of Georgia. Those are just some of the projects that the Czech Republic has undertaken to help improve living conditions in distant parts of the world. Now the immediate priority has become responding to the needs of war-torn Ukraine. I spoke to Petr Gandalovic, head of the Foreign Ministry's Department for Humanitarian Aid and Development Cooperation, about what the country is doing to alleviate the suffering of Ukrainian refugees and help people in need elsewhere.
Well, one day after the Russians invaded Ukraine, the government of the Czech Republic approved 300 million Czech crowns for immediate humanitarian aid for Ukraine. Of course, as you rightly say, from the very beginning, it is not easy to get aid to Ukraine because of the war, obviously, and the security situation. We have excellent cooperation with our non-governmental organizations. You may know them, People in Need, ADRA, Caritas, and all the others, maybe smaller ones. And many of them have had a continuous cooperation with locals. So they are not new to Ukraine. To the contrary, they are cooperating with the local staff, and they are able to bring humanitarian assistance right in the middle of Ukraine, and not only to the western part of Ukraine. They have context and their own people in the eastern part, where obviously the help is needed even more.
Has the form of aid changed?
Well, that is a good question. Of course, it covers all kinds of things. It is the help for displaced people. You know that Ukrainians are have fled the country to also to the Czech Republic. So that's another story, because this is what the Ministry of Interior does, to help people who come to our country. But there are many Ukrainians who stay in Ukraine. Of course, maybe they...
displaced elsewhere in the country.
They're displaced from areas that are bombed, under attack, and there... it is the same humanitarian situation. They need shelter, they need food, basic supplies. So this is where we help them. Of course, we also help in other areas, health care, immediate emergency services, and so on and so on.
So we're helping them, both those displaced inside Ukraine and in other countries, in neighbor states.
Well, it is a good question. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is responsible for humanitarian assistance outside of the EU. So we are not particularly helping Poland or Slovakia. They are in the EU, so they are subject to all kinds of EU mechanisms, as we are. But, for instance, we provide a lot of help to Moldova. That is also very hardly affected by the refugee wave, and for them it may be even worse because of the fragility of their society, and you know, just the mathematics. There are only 2.5 million Moldovans, so the numbers play much bigger role there.
This war is having repercussions worldwide. Will the war in Ukraine, the refugee crisis, even the economic crisis that we are facing, Will it have an impact on how you spend your money? Because you have a certain amount allotted for humanitarian aid in the coming years. The situation may change dramatically. Do you expect it to change your priorities?
Well, first of all, it has to be said that there will be repercussions, mainly in the developed world, in the area of food security, because obviously Ukraine was a big supplier of cereals to these countries and to international humanitarian agencies like the World Food Program that were basically the customers of Ukraine, and then they would distribute food to Yemen and all these poor and fragile countries, and this has enormous effect. So
they're even talking of a famine, possibly.
To some extent, yes. And so this is it. Another argument that the world, as much as we are focused on Ukraine, we simply cannot forget about all these other areas, other parts of the world. So, yes, it is a challenge. This is, I would say, crisis on both ends. We have to keep helping Ukraine, and more increasingly there will be this development and reconstruction element present in the help to Ukraine. And at the same part, we just cannot forget about developed world, developing world, which again will need us, while the money is not endless. It is not.
What other priorities does the Czech Republic have in terms of humanitarian aid? Where else are we helping? Even before this war broke out, where else were we helping?
Well, traditionally, we have priorities like displaced people, stabilization, climate effects, and something that we would call disaster risk reduction, which is pretty much part of the adaptation to the climate change and ways how countries that are affected by climate effects can better prepare themselves for major floods or other climate effects.
Can you give me an example where we're doing this?
Well, in Asia, in Cambodia, we may help them to put in place warning systems to get the local population better prepared for flood situations.
Turning now to development aid, I know that there are certain priority countries and certain priority areas for a certain period of time. Of course, there are so many countries that need development cooperation and development aid. Can you explain how these priority countries are selected?
Of course, yes, it is a shared approach among countries that provide development cooperation that it is important to focus. To focus and stay for a longer period of time. Not to go there and try to sort of please everyone. It's not possible. Even the richest countries that provide much bigger amounts of humanitarian cooperation try to focus and select priority areas or priority countries. Because, again, in the world where resources are not endless, you have to prioritize. For the Czech Republic, we have six countries, as you rightly said, as priority countries. Three of them are associate countries to the EU. That is Bosnia-Herzegovina, Moldova, and Georgia. And then, of course, we have a special case, which is Ukraine, and we talked about that before. And then we have the low-income countries that counts Zambia and Ethiopia in Africa, and also Cambodia in Asia.
Maybe we should first explain the difference between development aid and development cooperation in this respect. Are we talking about, does it have several phases? Do you start with development aid and move on to development cooperation and partnership even, or is it just...
The term development aid we don't use. Because when we talk about development, we see it as a cooperation. We don't see it as a one-way highway. It is a dialogue. It is something that the recipient is supposed to be a partner rather than a some sort of subject of something. So the term aid we use in connection with humanitarian situation, where obviously in a humanitarian catastrophe, there is not so much time for a dialogue, for formulating priorities. You have to go right to the problem and help as much and as effectively as possible. Development cooperation is a different thing, because there it applies what I said before. You should develop a partnership with the recipient country in a way that they are part of the identification process. They have a say in what will be the priority, what will be the project itself. So that's the
development. That was something I wanted to ask. When you select these six countries, do you actually ask them? I mean, you probably ask them where they need help most, but do you actually offer to cooperate in areas where the Czech Republic is strong, like water management, like agricultural technology, solar power?
Well, of course, we do offer things that we think that we are good at, and also where we have an experience. For instance, when I spoke about the three associate countries to the EU, these are countries like Moldova that are going through reforms which not long ago we went through ourselves. And I'm not talking about political reforms only, I'm talking about the reforms in water treatment systems, in environmental protection, nature protection system and governance. So these are things that we can share ourselves, our own transformation story. And that is very appreciated by these countries, because with all due respect to the bigger donors from western part of Europe, they don't have that kind of transformation experience. So this is what makes us, I would say, a valuable partner. Even though, of course, the amount of our development cooperation money is far, far less than of many countries like, even of our size, like Nordic countries or of course, Germany.
And how does it work with the Czech companies that are actually launching projects elsewhere? There are state-owned companies, big companies, small companies. There are private entrepreneurs starting small businesses
Different parts. First, there is a very strict criteria what represents development cooperation resources or money. You cannot just say that every economic cooperation is development cooperation. To the contrary, we have strict criteria. They are determined by the OECD Development Committee. And, of course, we don't deny the fact that development cooperation is one of the foundations of better cooperation in other areas, including economic cooperation. So we don't see it as a one-way thing that it would bring business to the country, but at the same time we hope that the country in question, first they improve their situation, conditions for life of citizens of that country improve, but also conditions for doing business improve, which makes it more attractive for investors, for companies that may follow.
So it has benefits for Czech businesses as well.
Of course. And again, it is not any secret that there is eventually benefit for economic cooperation, of course, also including our business. But this is not the primary purpose. The primary purpose is to help that country to improve lives of its people.
And is our development cooperation plugged into European projects? Do you prefer bilateral cooperation or do you prefer multilateral projects with other EU member states, for instance?
Well, let's make it even more complicated for the listeners. First, the distinction between bilateral and multilateral in a more traditional way is, as I would say, we provide concrete support for a concrete project in country X. Multilateral means that we provide money for international organizations, mostly UN system like UNDP or UNICEF or other organizations that actually have the expertise and have presence in these developing countries. Many times they are able to provide such assistance or cooperation better than if we would try to go on our own.
Right.
So we have to, I would say, balance the interest between maybe perhaps an interest of our bilateral relationship with that particular country, maybe some interest of visibility of our country in that country. On the other side, it is an interest of doing it right. And sometimes organizations like UNDP know how to do it right. There is plenty of, I would say, ways how to combine both approaches, which means that, for instance, in the UNDP, you may establish your own trust fund, which you have much more say in terms of what is actually done for that money. So it makes multilateral cooperation more closer, and it makes you more visible because you basically do work on behalf of that multilateral organization. And then when it comes to the EU, of course, EU is from one point of view a multilateral organization, so to say, but at the same time it is us. We are EU. So in this in the third world, so to say, we try to team as Europeans to be visible as the EU, as Europe, not to provide fragmented, isolated series of bilateral projects. It doesn't work always like that because obviously each country still wants to be visible as country X in that recipient country, but at the same time we have much more willingness now than before to team up and to join forces and to basically present our development cooperation as European project. So this is why we have developed the term Team Europe, which means that this is us, this is Europeans who cooperate with that recipient country.
What is key to making development cooperation effective as possible when you're actually working in a different political environment, a different cultural environment? The country may have different laws than we do.
First, if we had that key, obviously we would be much better off. Nobody knows that key. And that's obviously why we are trying to join forces in the European Union, because this is where we share our good practices and we share experience. We basically approach the recipient country with a comprehensive plan, and Europe as such is obviously bigger partner, so it's also much more respected as a partner, because obviously with these projects, we want the partner country to fulfill some conditions to change maybe perhaps their legislation in some area. So we don't only provide some sort of assistance, we as I said, we cooperate and we want to be partners, but the partner has their own homework as well.
How has development cooperation changed in the past two decades?
Well, that's a very, very broad question. In short, first, it has been actually centralized to some extent, not 100%. It has been centralized in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It is viewed as a inevitable, inseparable part of our foreign policy, and also it has adopted this prioritization approach, like to select countries that will be our partners for a bigger amount of time, where we can develop much deeper relationships with the local with the partner government.
Mr. Gandalovich, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And that was Petr Gandalovich, head of the Foreign Ministry's Department for Humanitarian Aid and Development Cooperation, about what the country is doing to alleviate the suffering of Ukrainian refugees and help people in need elsewhere. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Now, Czech Radio has launched a new fundraising project which aims to provide musical instruments to children of Ukrainian refugees, but also to Czech children whose parents don't have the means to buy them. The project, called If a Thousand Clarinets, is spearheaded by the world-famous Czech opera singer Magdalena Kožená. Ruth Franková has the story.
Marně si hlavu lámu, proč muži většinou neradi vidí dámu.
Kdyby tisíc klarinetů, or If a Thousand Clarinets, is a famous 1964 Czech musical film featuring hit songs by the Semaphore Theatre, performed by the biggest stars of the day, including singers Valdemar Matuška, Karel Gott or Hanna Hegerová. If a Thousand Clarinets is also the name of a new fundraising project launched by Czech Radio's Endowment Fund this Tuesday. Its aim is to distribute musical instruments, both used and new, among children whose parents cannot afford them. The project has received support from a number of leading Czech musicians, including violinist Jiří Svěcený, drummer and singer David Koller, and singer-songwriter Jiří Suchý, one of the authors of the famous musical.
The idea of providing Ukrainian children with musical instruments which they couldn't take with them when they fled their country is a beautiful one, and I'm really grateful to anyone who will contribute and also to those who came up with the idea.
The project is spearheaded by the famous Czech opera singer Magdalena Kožená, who has long been supporting the Czech Republic's unique system of art schools through her endowment fund.
We've been planning a very similar event with my foundation team for several months now. So when I heard about the Czech Radio Foundation's event a few days ago, we decided to join forces rather than splitting them up, and I'm very happy about that.
Speaking about the project to Czech Radio, she remembered how she got her first musical instrument.
When I was just 3 years old, I used to bang on the gas heater because it reminded me of a keyboard. My parents, although they were not musicians themselves, realized they had to do something about it. So instead of buying a new car, they bought me a small piano, and it was one of the most beautiful moments of my life.
The fundraising project is not only meant to address professional musicians. Instruments, both used and new, can be donated by anyone who wants to take part, says head of Czech Radio's Endowment Fund Gabriela Drastichová.
We're calling on both individual donors and companies to provide a musical instrument, and we also invite music teachers to place a request for a musical instrument. We will then link the request to the offers on our website.
s nabídkou na tom jednoduchém portálu propojíme.
Anyone interested in taking part in the project can sign up on the website kdybytisícklarinetu.cz.
Vy byste porád seděla a nevydala hlásku, a to se přece nedělá, a já vás varuju. Tak abyste to věděla, tak já vám vyznám lásku, tak abyste to věděla, tak já vás miluju.
More power to them. Great project. And that report was by Ruth Franková. And I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to write to us, then the address to write to is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.
Neradi vidí dámu chladnou a nečinnou. Nedávno přišel ke mně, sladkej a milej byl. A doopravdy jemně mě oslovil.
Vy byste porád seděla a nevydala hlásku, a to se přece nedělá, a já vás varuju. Tak abyste to věděla, tak já vám vyznám lásku, tak abyste to věděla, tak já vás miluju.
Já nemám ráda muže, kteří se vnucujou. Za prachy oni u žen si štěstí kupujou. To nejsou muži pro mne, mě nejspíš získá si ten, který přijde skromně a tiše prohlásí. Ten, který přišel včera po naší ulice za večerního šera, byl hezkej velice. Oči mu něžně planou, jak se tak plašeptá. A když mu řeknu ano, tak tiše zašeptá.
Vy byste porád seděla a nevydala hlásku, a to se přece nedělá, a já vás varuju. Tak abyste to věděla, tak já vám vyznám lásku, tak abyste to věděla, tak já vás